Picture a homeless man with an extraordinary voice singing for spare change on a cold New York night. His talent is undeniable, but is he truly being creative or merely using his gifts to survive within an unjust system? This encounter crystallizes the central tension explored in Against Creativity, how capitalism has hijacked our most powerful human faculty. Creativity was once revered as a divine power to create something from nothing. Today, it has been reduced to a marketable skill, weaponized to serve economic growth rather than human flourishing. As creative industries generate billions globally, we must ask, has the revolutionary potential of creativity been neutralized by the very system it once sought to challenge? The transformation has been so complete that creativity, once the domain of rebels and revolutionaries, now primarily reinforces existing power structures while giving the illusion of freedom and innovation. Creativity evolved from being seen as a divine gift to a human capacity during the Enlightenment. Initially part of the cultural commons, where artists like Shakespeare were viewed as craftsmen serving public entertainment, creativity's nature changed as European colonization generated wealth. The aristocracy began privatizing art, establishing the concept of the creative genius, while the Industrial Revolution created divisions between elite and popular culture. By 1997, Tony Blair's Cool Britannia campaign marked creativity's full commodification. His government reshaped Britain's economy toward creative industries, which generated £84.1 billion by 2016. Today, creativity primarily serves capitalism's growth, not through genuine innovation, but by eliminating alternatives and expanding markets. Capitalism neutralizes potential resistance by monetizing counterculture, from hippies to punk to hip-hop, a process that has accelerated in the digital era. Modern creative workplaces feature open-plan offices, breakout areas, and playful amenities. At the BBC's Media City UK, my guide compared creative workers to peacocks during mating season. They must constantly display their talents to succeed. This analogy reveals how creative work remains fundamentally individualistic despite claims of collaboration. Richard Florida's The Rise of the Creative Class transformed business perspectives on creativity. He argued that while everyone has creative potential, only some monetize it as the creative class, autonomous innovators who reject bureaucracy and prioritize flexibility over financial rewards. Yet this supposedly egalitarian class was predominantly white, exceeding national averages. Though organizations trumpet collaborative structures, success stories still center on individual genius, Jobs, Zuckerberg, Musk, rather than collective achievement. Modern workspaces mirror this disconnect. Open-plan environments suggest community while masking growing individualization. By blending work and leisure, employers extract more value while reducing obligations. Meanwhile, freelancers face extreme instability, working on short notice for low pay while constantly hunting opportunities and fighting for compensation. Lizzie Maggie created The Landlord's Game, Monopoly's precursor, to critique wealth inequality. When Charles Darrow later modified and sold it to Parker Brothers, he earned millions, while Maggie received just $500, exemplifying how marginalized creators often see their innovations appropriated for corporate profit. True creativity emerges from colliding ideas, but is fundamentally shaped by identity and power. Innovation requires not just connecting domains, but challenging the structures that artificially separate them. Blind architect Chris Downey's perception of spaces through smell, sound, and touch reveals design possibilities invisible to sighted architects, as shown in his Lighthouse for the Blind project. Deaf culture, similarly, represents a rich sensory world with distinct spaces and languages. Artists like Jack Coulter, who sees music as colors, and Neil Harbison, who hears colors through an implanted antenna, experience realities that transcend conventional perception. These diff-abled experiences represent genuine creativity, not just novel products, but new ways of being that challenge standardized, efficiency-driven approaches to human capability. Political debates now mirror reality TV shows with theatrical staging and performative behavior. Donald Trump's transition from The Apprentice to politics exemplifies this shift, using reality TV techniques like soundbites, simplified messaging, and dramatic gestures to dominate the stage. Networks maximize drama through split screens and viral-ready clips, while political dramas like House of Cards blur the line between fiction and reality. As Lacanian theory suggests, this spectacle obscures actual politics behind carefully managed performances. The 2008 financial crisis revealed this disconnect between performance and reality. Despite causing global economic turmoil through risky derivatives trading, only one banker, Karim Sarageldin, faced jail time for the crash. Government bailouts enabled austerity with minimal opposition. In response, genuine alternatives emerged. Greek solidarity spaces created time banks for community exchange. Local currencies fostered economic resilience, and groups like Democracy in Practice experimented with lottery-based governance. These initiatives show how authentic creativity can serve democratic rather than purely economic ends. Serendipitous online discoveries are becoming rare as machine learning mediates our daily experiences, from news feeds to job recommendations. Tech workers have become the template for workforce transformation, while apps and wearables convert our lives into data streams. These technologies erode collective sociality through sophisticated personal filter bubbles. Google's search algorithms construct individualized reality tunnels, while social media platforms use complex recommendation systems to create echo chambers, reinforcing existing beliefs. Uber exemplifies platform capitalism's exploitation. Despite its massive market valuation, the company undermines labor protections by classifying drivers as contractors, avoiding benefits while maintaining algorithmic control through surge pricing and rating systems. The sharing economy's weightless digital promise masks its material footprint. Cloud services require vast data centers, undersea cables, and billions of devices dependent on rare earth minerals. Platforms like Airbnb monetize previously non-commercial aspects of life while shifting risks to individuals. These algorithmic platforms eliminate traditional social fabric. Where local markets once fostered community connections alongside commerce, today's digital marketplaces reduce interactions to pure transactions, transforming every possession and skill into potential revenue. Creativity means imagining worlds beyond our current reality, yet capitalism has reduced it to an individualized, profit-driven force. From Silicon Valley to creative hubs, the message is clear. Creativity must generate profit to matter. Celebrated innovators like Jobs and Zuckerberg built on others' work from positions of privilege, while innovations from marginalized communities went unrecognized. Many breakthroughs emerged from government labs and academic institutions, not lone geniuses in garages. Neoliberal ideology promotes individualism over community, obscuring the social connections that enable privilege. Success stories glorify individual genius while ignoring collective effort and inherited advantages. The gig economy exemplifies this by forcing creative workers to compete for precarious opportunities. Resistance requires building bridges through empathy across boundaries of class, race, and ability. We must explore political alternatives like sortition, local currencies, and direct action for radical democracy. True creativity isn't about individual genius, but collective imagination that challenges power structures. While capitalism claims barren ground, people everywhere create alternatives, from indigenous knowledge systems to collective organizing. The next creative revolution won't be marketed. It will emerge from our collective courage to imagine beyond capitalism's constraints.